Well, good morning, Terra Nova. Good to see so many folks who are at the Christmas Eve service, and welcome. I see new faces here today, so welcome to you folks as well. The early theologian Steve Miller said, time keeps on slipping into the future, and this is one of those times where we look at the clock, and I don't know if you've ever had those moments where you look at the clock, where it's 4 p.m. on a Friday and you have things due at the end of business Friday and you're just trying to meet those demands. Or if you were in competitive athletics, you knew time was running out and you're just watching that clock and knowing you don't have that much time to do this. New Year's makes us stop and measure some things about that flow of time, which has always seemed there to us, but it is kind of brief and fleeting. If you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 90, and we'll go there first. If you don't have a Bible, please put your hand up, and someone will bring you one. By the way, you're also going to want to have one of these guide pages today. On the back, there's some places for notes, and I'm going to spend some time going over some things to assess for the new year. You may want to take some notes on those. So if you need a guide page, someone could probably bring you one of those with a Bible. I don't know. So put your hand up if you need one of those things, and we'll try to sort that out for you. Psalm 90, verse 12 tells us that we need to learn to number our days so that we can present a heart of wisdom. There's something that will happen that will just draw us in like a long drive, or it'll just become that constant passing of road signs and exits if we don't pause now and again and think about where we are. It's the same with our lives. If we just let it keep going one day to the next, I'm just maintaining, we're probably not going to make any real change within our life. We're just going to keep maintaining and enduring and wondering the entire time, why doesn't anything intentional seem to change where we are and how we are and what we're doing? Genesis tells us that God actually put the stars in the heavens to mark changes of times and seasons so we would recognize that, which is why for years I've tried to maintain the winter solstice should be the new year. It hasn't gotten much traction. By much, I mean no one else has agreed with me on this, but I keep trying to do this. But we do January 1st, and one of the things we do on January 1st, we make resolutions. University of Scranton did a study recently on people who make resolutions. They found that just about 75% of people who make them never keep those, and about 8% will make it through to achieve their goal fully. So New Year's resolutions, man, it's setting yourself up for failure if you just say, I'm going to be this. But what I'd rather have us do is take a look at three areas of life. Areas that I think are common to all people, an eternal perspective, our relationship with God, whether strong or weak, our internal sense of being, how we're doing as pilgrims on this journey, as individual existential pilgrims, what we're doing with our lives under God and with each other, and then an external view. What impact are we having on the world around us with our lives, or are we just trying to become happy hermits where the most important thing my sense of well-being and my sense of fulfillment, that third zone will help us to be people who are actually serving beyond just ourselves. So here's where I want to begin for this New Year's assessment. I want to start with our relationship with God. This is the first point today, the confessions that we make. There are two kinds of confessions that Christians make, or at least should make. One is a confession of faith, where we talk about those creeds and we begin with statements like, I believe or we believe. For a number of years, I had a book of creeds by a guy named John Leith in my house. I had it because it was a seminary book that we had to buy and read. And one of our profs said, I'll never forget it during a lecture, he said, keep that book of creeds when you leave here on the tank of your toilet, so that while the body is engaged in the ignoble, the mind and soul can be engaged in the noble. I give that guy great credit, because one, he scandalized about a third of the class by saying that. But it's one of the few books I can say that actually wore the binding out on, because it was always there, and creeds are short. You can get the job done, you know what I'm saying. Just keep that book of creeds and figure out what it is that we as Christians say we believe. And challenge yourself, not just by knowing the historic statements of faith, but asking, where do I believe these things? There's also a confession, not just of faith, but a confession of where we fail. If we looked at this past year, we could probably find successes and failures and make it sound like either one to people to whom we spoke. We could just give the highlight films and say this went well, or we could just be the terribly morose person and give all the things that went poorly. The reality is there's probably a great mix of things that went well and things that we failed on. Here's the beautiful thing about our God. When we fail, he doesn't want a resume self. He wants us being real with him and being able to say, this is where I failed, and I failed you, Lord. This is where I've sinned. That's where a confession of failure comes in. And in 1 John, the word says that if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These are base points of entering into that eternal relationship with God. That you have a faith in him that you confess, that he sent his son Jesus as the savior for the sins of this world, who died for sin, rose to the dead, rose to rule, and will return to fully rule over us. That's the confession of faith of the Christian. And also the confession of failure. That no matter what your low light was this past year, this 2018, God's there to re-embrace you, to confess. There are some things that we can mark, though, as we do in that relationship. The first is your Bible reading. I recognize if I want to make any Christian feel guilty, I just ask them how their Bible reading and prayer is, and we all look at our shoes a little bit or just go, fine, it's good. But I want us to continue in that. If you had to put down a 1 to 10 for this past year, how was your Bible reading? Just an honest 1 to 10 too, not the ones where, you know, you're looking to beat yourself up. I'm a 1, I'm the lowest, I'm the worst. Not, I read it, so I'm a 10. Just 1 to 10, where do you think you were? The Bible is a way for us to hear from God. It says of itself in 2 Timothy that it's God-breathed. That's the language the Bible uses. It's that intimate expression, just like when God put life into Adam in the Garden of Eden. It's that place we have to continue to hear from him. When the church in the West had gotten dull and seemed to be about money and ritual, it was people like Martin Luther and John Calvin and others who read the Word, who found that it brought reformation to the entire Western church. If that's the case, this book is powerful enough, fed by the Spirit, imbued by his power, to bring reformation to you and me. If it can change a church, it can change an individual. Be in the Bible this year. If that's intimidating to you and you really don't know how, jump on Terra Nova's Facebook page, Terra Nova Church Troy. You can find it on Facebook. And we've put up a PDF of a system of reading that is really simple called Lectio Coram Deo, reading in the presence of God. It's not reading academically. It's not reading to race through a list. It's reading to actually understand who God is, how we respond as pilgrims, and how we respond as missionaries. Those three zones of eternal, internal, external. You can download the PDF and practice that this year. When we read, we see God revealed. When we see God revealed, we respond. That's called worship. How was your place of worship this year? If you had to mark 1 to 10 in 2018, how was worship? Now, worship is not just singing songs at church on Sunday. Worship means there is something that we have such a high value to that we talk about it a lot. We are built for this. If you're a sports fan or a music fan or a fan of some particular fashion icon or whatever you're a fan of, you know this because you will talk about it. You will put posts about it on your Instagram. If you love a food, you will photograph it and want all your friends to see that food on your Instagram because you thought it was worth it. The stuff that we think is worth it on our Instagram is sometimes beyond me. But if God is worthy, if he's worth the worship, it's not just songs on Sunday, is it? It's something that we do constantly. It's wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we take that place of worship and reverence, of singing not only songs to God, but of admiring, of saying to our heart, be devoted today, that everything I'm doing is worth adding greatness and glory to him, because that's what our worship does. Not that somehow we're creating the glory that he has, but we're recognizing more. Glory in the Hebrew means weight or heaviness. I love when religious phrases and words get demystified, when they start to become real for people. And to recognize the glory of God means he gets heavy enough, dense enough, where he begins to pull you in with a gravitational divine pull that makes other things weak, that you leave things that once held you bound to them, whether you saw them as chains or not, and they just seem to have no power over you because the glory is so great, the gravity is so great. The more you worship God, the greater that glory experience will be for you, that he'll pull you into that orbit. Rate 2018. Last one, times of prayer. How would you rate yourself on times of prayer in 2018? There are a lot of different ways to pray. I have changed systems. My wife and I have changed systems up almost regularly because not one seems to like steadily work for us all the time, but maybe for a season they do. Sometimes it was taking days of the week and assigning different things to those days. Usually we alliterated them. Like Monday would be missions, Tuesday would be tasks, Wednesday would be worship, etc. Sometimes it was taking the acronym ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and praying through those things regularly. Find a way that you're regularly praying. So if that's our eternal one, you've got now numbers on there. Try to figure out, maybe with a family, maybe with a friend, maybe in your small group and tribe. What am I going to do So when it comes around next year, I'll have a different number. I'll actually be able to set something a little bit higher for that. The second area I want us to talk about is that internal area. It's the second point today, of community. No Christian exists in isolation. It's not allowed. It just doesn't happen that way. We come to Christ individually. We kneel before God with our sins heavy and separating us from him, and he accepts us as his child, but immediately we're brought into a family. Just like the day we were born, we didn't choose to be in a family. We were just there. And when you become a Christian, you are now part of the body of Christ, part of the family of God. To try to separate that is divisive. To pretend it's separate is foolish. We have to be men and women who live in community. This is why one of the reformers called the church a city within a city, because when other people see how Christians live, if we live as we should, they say they have community down better than we do, but we don't always practice it. So if you had to say within this church, what would you put 1 to 10s on things like being part of a small group? We call those tribes at Terra Nova. It's just a way where as the church has grown, we've been able to stay small. It's a place where people are known and know other people. Place where we can share word and worship and service with each other. How are you doing there? For some of you, you may not even know what that is. That's fine. Just send an email to troyquestions at Terra Nova Church and we'll help you with that. You can jump on the website as well. For some, it's, man, I need to be a part. Because, listen, I've been a part of, I think, 10 different small groups at Terra Nova over the 14 years of the church's existence. Some were great and vital. Some struggled and need a little more life. But every single one I could make an impact in. These were groups between 6 and 12 people. Sometimes we feel helpless and weak that we can't change our environments. You can make a difference in the small group you're a part of. Just be a part of it that way this year. Ministry to the body. Every church has to live up to these one another's that are repeated in the New Testament. They're kind of the markers of maturity for a church. How do we serve one another? Not always easy. We've been watching at Corinth as we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians for our series. How divided the church is, how easy it is for the church to end up being divided and divisive. Some of the one another's are things like be patient with one another, be humble towards one another, bearing with one another. Testifies to the kind of people we are. It's not going to be easy to love and serve one another, but we're committed to doing that still. Pick a ministry at the church. If you're not involved in serving at this church this year, get involved. Email your small group leader, one of the pastors, and figure out how you can best serve in the body. I know this much. Everybody is equipped to serve. And if you're not serving, two things are missing. People are missing how you would serve, and you're missing how you would be shaped as a spiritual human being by serving other people. Find that way and participate. The last thing on that is commitment to the church. And I just mean the way that you're giving of yourself. It might be those ministries. It might be your attitude and your words. We saw in Corinth how divisive it can be when people just complain about a church. And my challenge is still, be part of the solution. If you're gifted enough to see a problem, don't just think that's the end of it. Complaining is not a spiritual gift. But if you can see a problem and you can jump in and bring a solution, now you're working with God the Spirit in bettering the church. We want that. If you see something, don't just become a voice of bitterness. Become a prayerful agent of betterment for the sake of you and the other saints at Terra Nova Church. Be committed. Some of that commitment, and we're going to hear more about this as the year goes on, is financial. Every week we talk about the offering and ways to give online, and I know about 75-80% give online, including myself. That's great. Never have we had the consistent fundraising campaign mode at Terra, but you know what? I got to tell you, we're at a place where growth and opportunity has made things sort of tight financially. We'd love to be able to hire more people at Terra. We'd love to be able to make some facilities change at Terra. We'd love to be able to do different ministries to the city of Troy. All of that takes money. We're going to talk more about what that is in the future, but I want you to consider what your commitment is, how much you buy into this church being yours. Because here's the real fact. Everybody at Terra Nova is a minister. This is not a service industry. You don't come here to get something. You're here because you're a part of something. If that's a new perspective on church for you, I hope that sinks in well for 2019. This is your church. How's your commitment to your church going in all those ways? Best thing about this process, the Holy Spirit has indwelt us. He's going to continue to change who we are as God is revealed in our lives. He's going to bring purity to our lives. He's going to bring gifts to our lives that help us to serve the body. And he's going to give us one of the most important things he can give us. It says in Ephesians 1:13 that we're marked with the Holy Spirit so that we can be secure. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your end is secure. You have nothing to lose and nothing to prove. You can actually risk living this way on this earth. Last thing we're going to talk about, the external, the impact that we make on this world. There are a lot of ways people try to measure, was their life worth anything? Did it really matter? For some people, it's money. I think the bank account is going to be the tool that gives them the measurement of if I had a win or not. For some, it's being earth tourists. Did I get enough experience? Did I see this place? Did I go here? Did I meet this person? Wow, I got to see something with my life. For others, and I think it's the deeper, more profound way, it's what did I leave with other people? Did I make an impact on this world for others? It means we take on a cause and a mission, a responsibility. And I think responsibility is a word that needs to come back in our language on a daily basis, because I think it's what makes men and women, grown men and women, more than a lot of other words do. When suddenly you do things because you are responsible to other people, and you keep those commitments because you have a responsibility. It keeps you anchored, keeps you from wavering, keeps communities building and growing. We're told as a responsibility that if you're a Christian, you are an ambassador to this world, that you are sent here by the kingdom of God to serve and represent the king to this place, that you're a stranger and an alien but not lost and wandering. You've been sent here with a purpose, to be a minister of grace and the gospel to other people. It means two things. We both serve in the sense of the gospel, that we demonstrate it, and we speak in the sense that we proclaim it. Both have to happen for us to have a genuine, full Christian testimony. Here's the three places I think that most happens. It's just natural places where we spend the majority of the hours of our week, where we labor. We're going to spend a third or more of our week with the people with whom we work. What are you doing there to be that ambassador? If there was one person that you could pray for this year, that you could minister to, both in the way that you served at work and the way that you spoke at work, who would that be? Serving at work can be simple things. You don't become the person who joins in the chorus of complaining. You don't steal office supplies. You actually work really hard, even when the boss isn't looking on an earthly level, because you know your Heavenly Father is the one for whom you work, no matter what boss you're working for. And you will help create a different work environment there. And people may even ask you at some point, why do you do this? I hate my job, and you seem to come in here with this different attitude every day, like something magical happened to you. You'll have those chances. Take that, serving and speaking where you work. Where you live. Probably prayed a lot about it. Ask God, give me a place to live, give me a home, give me an apartment, let this house go through, Lord, let the mortgage go through. Dana and I just bought a house recently, and know how these things go. Rocket mortgage becomes a holy and sacred thing in a few moments, right? And if you prayed that much for this thing, do you think God did it only for that one moment of ownership for you? Or might he have put you an ambassador of Jesus Christ strategically where he wanted? Might he actually have had other people besides just you involved in even answering your prayer? Where you live, what can you do to be a part of the kind of community and proclamation of truth that God wants for humanity to flourish? How can you be that salt and light in the place where you live? Who are the people, who's the person maybe that you would most pray for in 2019 to get to be that? And the third thing, how we leisure. Everybody has things they like to do. Some are kind of weird. I knew people in this church who were following around a screen trying to find Pokemons about a year ago, and people that I thought I could respect and trust were suddenly looking for Pokemons in Troy. But it had its own strange social binding to it too. Other people were doing it. It's a chance, even with looking for Pokemons, to have a place where we can connect with other people. All your leisure stuff isn't wasted, no matter what it is. Find the places where you're doing things with people. Don't just do them with other Christians either. It's easy for us to want to fall into the bunker mentality and just have other Christians who are like us waiting out the clock until Armageddon. We make it really, it sounds a little dark when you put it that way. The four corner stall until the end of the world, Jesus, go. But we do things to actually promote this at times, right? We come up with things like the Shepherd's Guide, which was yellow pages that you could call anyone for any service and make sure you only had to deal with Christians. So now your mechanic was a Christian, so you couldn't sue him or her. You just had to take what they did. And your dog walker was a Christian. Everything was just Christian. I would encourage you in the way that you live, be a light outside the church as well as in the church. There's a whole section for in the church. We want that, right? We want that internal sense of community, that modern monastic community of saints gathered together. We want that to be rich and robust. But we don't want that to be so busy or so central only that we forget that God calls to be missionaries as well as those who live in a monastery, that we have to be out there for the sake of other people. And what you like to do is actually incredibly redeemable as a way to evangelism. Evangelism is something that can cause a lot of Christians to have fear when you say it because they've had bad experiences of the way people have laid it out. I don't want to cause post-traumatic evangelistic syndrome in anybody, but I want you to understand that, you're all called to be witnesses of what you know, of what you've experienced. I worked as a defense attorney's investigator for a couple years, and one of the things I did was coach witnesses. It's pretty simple. I would just tell them, say what you saw. Don't say what you thought. Just going to be objected against. Don't argue. That's not going to do anybody any good. Say what you saw. I coach you the same way as witnesses for Jesus. Tell your experience. If you've never talked to anybody about your experience with Jesus before, make 2019 the year that you step into a new and mature place of your Christian faith, where you become a witness for Jesus, where you talk about what happened. There are a lot of ways that the Bible presents that done. I'm just going to share a couple in closing. One is proclamational. It's St. Peter in Acts 2 stands up and says, "Men of Israel," and he gives the whole presentation of the gospel. Some of you, that would terrify and crush you, and you would never have the opportunity anyway to do that. Some of you have that opportunity, and that may be the one that most ties into the way you're built and have opportunity for. Others, it's testimonial. It's the demoniac of the Gerasenes who is naked and chained in a graveyard. He meets Jesus. Jesus heals him, casts out demons, and he's sane. And he actually wants to get in the boat with the Christians, and Jesus says, no, you go back to your hometown and the surrounding towns and tell these people who know you what great things God has done for you. That's the traditional coaching the witness to say what you saw. For some, maybe it's because they're more shy. They wouldn't do the proclamational. They wouldn't even get to the testimonials easily, but they're gatherers. They want to bring people together. In Luke chapter 5, where Jesus calls Levi, Matthew, the tax collector, to himself, after Matthew comes to know Jesus, it says in 5:29 that he has a great feast, and he invites all the other tax collector buddies and their families and Jesus, and says, let's just all hang out. Have the parties. Have the places where Christians and non-Christians that you know are actually meeting and mingling so that we're not just in isolation. Social presence is part of the way that the Bible presents evangelism and opportunity. Invitational. It just means come and see. That you're saying to someone, come to this event that we're doing. Come to this thing that we're having at church. Come to church on Sunday with me. Jesus did this with the early disciples. And they said, Rabbi, we want to know where you live. Jesus said to them, come see. Stand near enough where you can use your own senses to make an informed decision. And one of the last ones that lives out that light shining in the world, a servant of evangelism. It's that woman named beautifully Gazelle, or horribly in her language, Dorcas, who dies. And at her funeral, people weep and moan, showing the gifts that she had made for them in her life with her hands. There was a testimony that would live beyond her of the things that she did, and I'm sure people could talk about why she did them. But there are a lot of ways to evangelize, to be men, women, and children of good news. I hope you find that place for you in 2019 with those people. One of the things that happened in 2018 is God did something in your life. He probably did more than we realized, but there are probably a couple things where you say, yeah, that was big. We've put microphones down on the floor, and we want to spend about the next 15 minutes giving opportunity for people to give testimony of what the Lord has done. Here's what I'm going to ask of you as you come up and do it. Just come up and say who you are and give the testimony pretty directly, because if we only have 15 minutes, that means if we each go a minute, we got 15 people can come, each go a minute and a half. I can't do math. It's fewer at that point. It's less. But we don't have that much time. So if you can be under 2 minutes, We're not going to time you. I'm not going to cut you off. We're not going to have music start playing. But try to be respectful of other people so that they can give their testimony as well. Okay? All right. So we're just going to stop here and let people come forward. Don't be shy. If God's done something that you think, yeah, this is worth telling, this is worth ascribing worship to God, it's part of my testimony of 2018 that I want folks to know how good the Lord is, would you please come up and share that?